Life is a highway, and on it there will be many chicken sandwiches. But there's only one McCrispy, so go ahead and hit the turn signal if you know about this juicy gem of a detour.
This episode is brought to you by Amazon Prime. You know Amazon Prime is not just a shipping subscription, right? It's got everything, including streaming TV and movies on Prime Video. And of course, Prime's fast, free shipping. Go from watching your favorite shows to getting your favorite things. Whatever you're into, it's on Prime. Visit amazon.com/prime to get more out of whatever you're into.
The most exciting part of a vacation stay at a home rental? Easy. It's being greeted upon arrival with a rusted lockbox affixed to the underside of a stranger's condo. Yeah, you simply twist knobs, click gears, jiggle it, and then rip it off its moorings, and voila! Your prize is a key to a questionable home rental and maybe tetanus. When you just want to get your vacation started by actually getting into your room, it matters where you stay. At Hilton, we deliver your key right to your phone on the Hilton Honors app. Hilton, for the stay.
Wearing a Men's Warehouse outfit makes you confident, like you could do anything, so you dance like no one is watching, even though everyone is watching. Because of the Men's Warehouse outfit, you interview like the job is already yours because it is. Because of the Men's Warehouse outfit, you golf as if the rules don't apply to you because you're too well-dressed for rules. Because of the Men's Warehouse outfit. At Men's Warehouse, get measured, get fitted, get hot, get confident in everything from tailored suits to underwear and all the stuff in between. Love the way you look at Men's Warehouse.
Hi there, and welcome to Oaktown Boys, season 4, episode 4.
I don't know, for some reason you really got me. I was expecting not season 4, episode 4. The double fours, man.
But we're back. Here we are. Up and down week, I would say. Overall, not too nightmarish. Well, it ended well.
Kind of started poorly. Kind of a down up week. Yeah.
Yeah. It's more specifically, yes. A lot of down. I guess more down, mostly down until yesterday.
Mostly down.
But alrighty. So since we talked last, over the weekend, we got swept by the Guardians, which stunk.
Yeah.
Game one, Tristan McKenzie kind of carved us up a little bit. It was the Tristan McKenzie kind of Tyler Freeman show.
Dude, Tyler, what's up with these guys? Tyler Freeman and...
Yeah, and Josh Naylor is like absolutely on fire too. Boyle did not have much working for him today.
No.
Or that, this day.
It does make you wonder how much longer he's going to last if this is what it looks like. There's some promise, but man, it's... It's like a really hittable straight fastball at times.
Yeah. Yeah, and it's he throws so hard that like even with a little bit of action, it would be
it would probably be pretty good.
But yeah, man, there's nothing.
It's very straight.
So yeah, I mean, what do you really say about a 10-2 game? I mean, they kind of skunked us. Toro homered. Rooker homered. You know, Kyle Muller was very whatever out of the bullpen. Pitching didn't look great today. Struck out as a staff, they struck out 3. They walked 4. Not good. And yeah, I mean, the Orioles lineup is just kind of, when they're going, they're like kind of brutal, you know? So that was game one. And yeah, honestly, not much more to talk about than that, unfortunately. On to game two. Admittedly, a much better game. Still a loss. 6-3. And this was like, this was pretty frustrating because like coming into this series, I was like, man, if they could sweep the Guardians, then they'd be 500, you know, like we'd be doing great.
Yep.
And that's really,
we were real optimistic going into this series.
It's really, really not what happened.
The Guardians seem very good though.
Yeah.
And my dog will not stop drinking water.
Zuko's very thirsty right now. But Josh Naylor, man, he homered in both of these games, right? He homered in game one and game two.
Yeah. He's a killer.
Stephen Kwan went 4-for-5. Is that David Fry? Dude, David Fry.
David Fry is the other name I was looking for.
David Fry has absolutely murdered us this year. I wonder what he's doing against teams that aren't the A's.
I don't know. I keep looking to pick them up in fantasy, and they're not that appealing.
Well, and yeah, I mean, cause, well, I looked earlier and he just like doesn't, A, he's not playing the A's doesn't play every enough. Game. And he doesn't play every day. So he's just Babe Ruth against the A's and a normal guy otherwise.
This one, I caught the first big league home run of Max Schumann. I didn't watch this whole game. I was out wine tasting, but I did manage to catch that part, which was real fun.
And it was also Noda's first homer of the season, mm-hmm. which was nice.
It was a bomb. And it was one of Alex Wood's better outings.
But I mean,
they're still ugly.
Yeah.
They're still real ugly.
It's a bummer that you are 100% right, but that's not
one of his better outings. He gave up 8 hits and walked one.
Yeah, I mean, Noda homered, Schumann homered. Schumann also stole a bag.
He seems useful.
This game, as I said, was much closer. I mean, they were down 2, they tied it, they were down, they got it, they made it close. This was frustrating. They could have won this game.
Yes.
And they just didn't.
The start of a frustrating week.
Little stretch. So, staying on that. Staying on that
frustrating
into game 3. they lost 6-2. This was kind of, I think, an illustration of just they've got kind of a long way to go. This whole series was just like they're better than they were last year, but they're still working on some things, and the Guardians are well ahead of them.
And right now we're getting, I don't know, 2 good pitching performances out of every go around. We had like a good week there to start the season, but the starting staff is not pulling their weight right now.
No, and
the bullpen is.
And I mean, it was Josh Naylor again. Josh Naylor cleared the bases with a double, and that was kind of it for this game.
Ross Stripling's got a nice 0-5 record to start the year there.
Yep, and he's Mitch Spence just seems like he's starting to come undone a little
bit.
No longer
0 ERA god.
So anyway, that's a 3-game sweep at the hands of the Cleveland Guardians and Stephen Vogt.
Yeah, we're just being nice to Stephen Vogt because we love him. He's, all-time.
We want to make sure that he gets his managerial career off to a good start.
Yeah, it's all about confidence. He's got plenty of it.
Okay, and so licking our wounds. Now we made our way over to New York.
Yeah, I forget that ever happened.
And this game was awesome. This is a 4-game set with the Yankees, who were 15-7 coming in. And we split with them. We split a 4-game series with them. Starting off with a 2-0 win in game 1. This was a pitching duel, for sure. And J.P. Sears, I think, probably made the Yankees regret that they had traded him a little bit.
He did. Surprisingly, but he did.
He has looked good
this year.
He's figured something out.
I still was just expecting, the ball to go over the fence or something.
But. Yeah. But Sears went 6-3 hits, a walk, 7 Ks. His ERA is down to 3.38. 4 base runners over 6 innings. It's
beautiful.
About as good as you can hope for. And then Ursag and Miller were amazing.
They're the new dynamic duo.
They are turning into a pretty formidable back of the pen.
They're the new Ryan Cook and Sean Doolittle, if you will.
Absolutely. And not to be outdone, Carlos Rodon gave up 3 base runners in 7 innings.
But only struck out 4.
And we got to their bullpen. It was Zach Geloff. Zach Geloff with a super clutch homer in the top of the 9th.
One out.
Abraham Toro had singled and then got Geloff homered into the porch. And Miller shut it down, as he does seemingly every time now. We'll talk about him more later, but man.
He's amazing.
He's so cool. So that was a great start. Great start to that series. Very disappointing game 2.
Game 2 was rough. To rewind a little bit, to start the Yankee series, there was that crazy little umpire issue.
Right.
Where, like, first batter of the game, Aaron Boone got tossed because a fan behind him said something that the umpire thought he said. Wild. Great stuff. But the umpiring was bad the whole game. And then game 2, it was even worse, and specifically in the A's direction. It did not go their way at all, including some very questionable calls in the 9th, which basically took the bats out of their hands and ended the game. So yeah,
I think the through the first two games of the series, it was I think it was so bad, you know, like some of the calls were so bad that I think it probably just felt like they were screwing your team over, whichever team you're rooting for. Like, I, you know, we're just not Yankees fans, so I'm sure we like didn't really notice, but I bet they were doing, there's no way they were doing a good job for the Yankees. They were doing it, you know, I mean, it was some of those calls in the ninth were like egregious. Like, you know, I know they don't care because they're getting replaced by robots anyway,
yeah.
You know? But man, some of those dudes have really phoned it in, you know, like not even, did you see like there was like the, it was an Angel Hernandez, and it was like a 97 mile an hour fastball right down the middle, and he just didn't call it.
I've seen
that. And it was like, wow, like you're just at a certain point, you're doing this on purpose, you know, like whatever sort of little rebellion. But also, like you're all, this may be you doing it intentionally, but you've also been this bad on accident before. So
it says here the Lawrence Butler called out on strikes in the top of the ninth was a negative 7.1 win percent chance for the A's. So
and it
they
also
just took away.
Also, no, wasn't a strike.
7% of a chance that they could even fucking win.
Wasn't a strike. But Langeliers homered. Lawrence Butler homered. I mean, they scored in the top of the first. They scored a run in the top of the first. And then immediately gave up four in the bottom of the first. Which felt deflating.
Especially with Blackburn pitching.
They really made a solid effort to come back.
Yep.
You know, I mean, the pitching locked in the rest of the game. I mean, Blackburn was pretty much nails after the first inning.
They went 2-0 without that first inning.
Yeah.
And as you said, Blackburn finished strong. McFarland is continuing his dominance.
Mm-hmm.
And so is Austin Adams.
Yeah. And I like the, you know, like McFarland Adams coming out of the bullpen in this game to keep it close, put zeros up on the board. This isn't even our, like, A squad. You know,
exactly.
I mean, like, you know, this is not Lucas Ursag. This is not Miller, you know. So that was, I was especially in, because they got one back in the, got one back in the top of the second, made it 2-4, got one in the top of the fourth that made it 3-4, and at that rate I was thinking like, oh, we're good, you know, I mean, we're gonna at least tie this game.
Mm-hmm.
And then nothing happened, and then the umpiring went down the toilet. So I was, it does feel nice to be fresh. I was kind of pissed. I was pretty pissed at, I was, this was the first A's game in maybe a couple of years that I was like really kind of in a bad mood.
It's kind of
for a while.
Nice
afterwards
to be pissed again.
It was, I was definitely engaged. But man, it's, could be a slippery slope.
Corey. It could be. I don't miss getting truly upset.
No. And then game three was kind of a stinker.
It was a total stinker. Rooker homered. Big three-run home run. Kind of got him back in it, but then the Yankees tacked on one more.
Yeah.
Made it 7-3. But they're not getting shut out.
No. And you know,
Joe
this
Boyle
was
bad
this
again.
This was better than the last Joe Boyle outing, but I have some concerns about Joe Boyle.
Just, there's just way too much going on. Four walks, six strikeouts.
Yeah, he definitely has strikeout stuff. You know, like the stuff is good.
I can see a world where he's quite good.
But, yeah, I mean, it's not quite right now. So, yeah, I mean, honestly, outside the Rooker homer, I mean, it was 7-3, and the three was a three-run homer from Brett Rooker. Other than that, it was kind of uneventful offensively. But Rooker is seemingly starting to wake up a little bit.
Mm-hmm.
He's been, you know, he's been, I would say at least since he's been back, basically, he's been looking pretty good.
He's waking up right as golf goes on the IL.
Yesterday was a cool game.
An amazing game.
Yes.
So many double plays. Oh, God, I love it.
Yes. Alex Wood was his normal self, but it worked.
It worked. He gave up 8 hits, scattered them. 2 walks, 5 strikeouts, 1 earned run in 5 2/3, including some, like, gutsy double plays to get out of big jams.
Mm-hmm.
It was very needed, I'm sure, for him.
Yes.
More than anybody else.
And the, again, you know, the bullpen was amazing.
Holds all around. Hold for you.
The bullpen was amazing, man. Adams, Ursag, McFarland, Miller. Those are
the dudes.
The guys, you know, like if you start seeing those guys in that order, it's not going well for you.
And you know, not to mention Kyle Muller down there to stretch it out if necessary.
Yeah. And, Darryl Ernaiz.
Yeah,
the numbers, the triple slash line still is pretty ugly, but he's starting to look like the guy that we were advertised.
There's something about his swing. It's real, like, I don't know. There's a lot of leverage in it.
He seems like just a solid ball. He can kind of do everything. You know, he's got a little bit of pop. He's fast. He seems like he hits when he makes good contact. He makes good. You know, I mean, when he's playing well, he makes good contact. He's got a little bit of power. Got a little bit of speed. Seems like kind of what, you know, he could really go ahead and just take third base if he wants to.
He could. You know, and I would love to see it. And that's what we were told might happen.
And that brings us to the present day. And today, at what, like, I guess 4:05 our time, right? We start off against the Orioles. In game one, we got Corbin Burnes and Ross Stripling, which is not a super ideal matchup, but we'll see how it goes. What's your moment of the week?
It's definitely Miller time in New York City.
Yes.
He's been in the spotlight all week. People are starting to learn his name, and it's no longer a secret that he's arguably the most exciting pitcher to watch in all of baseball.
They're two separate outlets that it says it in his Yahoo, like, little blurbs now, you know, that he's probably the most exciting pitcher in baseball. And I also read that on Bleacher Report, and, you know, like, it is, the secret's out a little bit. I mean, if a guy throws like 103 and he's, you know, blowing it by Aaron Judge with the game on the line, then, you know, in New York, you know, at the moment, there haven't been that many moments because we aren't super, super, super competitive right now, but he has been ready for every moment that we have, like, laid in front of him thus far. So that was great. It was super cool. Mine is still in New York. The Zach Eloff homer to put him up 2-0 and win that game. That was, you know, if this team does end up making any sort of noise in any sort of way, we're going to look back early on the year and be like, man, there were like four or five wins that we, like, really needed to keep it from going into a complete tailspin. And that was like, if there can be such a thing as like a huge win for a 10-16 team, that was a huge win.
Don't lose four in a row.
Yes.
You can get swept.
Well, because it would have been, I mean, if not for like some happenings that existed on a very thin margin, we could be on a 7-game losing streak right now, you know, and that would be, I mean, what would we? We'd be 8-18. That wouldn't be good.
Doesn't sound nice.
We'd be 8-18 on a 7-game losing streak, you know?
Yeah.
And instead, we're 10-16 and we're coming off a split with the Yankees. Yeah. You know what I mean?
Went toe to toe with one of the best teams in baseball.
They are, and unfortunately now Zach Eloff is on the IL with an intercostal strain, abdominal strain.
Yeah.
Abdominal strain. So it doesn't, Mark Kotze did not seem super concerned about how long he would be on the IL, but he is on what, the 15-day IL, 10-day IL. So we are hoping for a quick return, and, you know, quick and effective healing for his abdominal muscles. But anyway, kind of the first thing we wanted to get to is I don't know how much it really matters, but they've homered in 10 straight games.
It's a little nuts. Could have sworn on the broadcast they said like 11 straight, but maybe I misheard. Dan and I went back, as I will play for you, and we counted it out. 10 straight games.
And going for number 11 today, baby.
You know a quality of a good baseball team? Hitting a home run every day.
And turning double plays.
And turning double plays.
We are leading the league in. And so we've homered in 10 straight games, and we're leading the league in double plays. What more could you possibly want?
Well, we also have the greatest closer of all time.
Yes. That's true. Three my cup things. Runneth over. That's all you need. That's how you build a good
so
team.
So many more things than we've had.
It's cool, but is it significant? It could be. You know, we looked it up before we started recording, or maybe was that might be in the part that gets it was before we were officially recording, but it was recorded, so we'll play part of it for you. But the all-time record, the Twins set the all-time record in 2019, and they homered 1.9 times a game. So we're homering at least once a game. So as long as we could pump that up to twice as much as that, then we'll be fine.
Yep.
You know,
we'll be the greatest offense. We'll set the record.
Time. Yeah.
Is it even possible we've hit a home run in 11 straight games?
Okay, we'll keep track of here. Well, let's see. Yesterday, Nevin and Allen homered yesterday. So that's one. Day before that, Rooker homered. So that's two. Day before that, Shea and Lawrence Butler homered. Three. Zach Geloff with the game winner the day before that. Rooker the day before that. So that's five.
Yep.
Noda and Schumann homered the day before that. It's six. Taro and Rooker homered the game before that. That's seven.
Is that the first game of the Guardians? Yes, it was. Okay, and they homered every game of the Cardinals series. Okay, so that's three.
So that's ten.
Six, ten.
And then Nationals. As long as someone homered against the Nationals.
Okay, but ten.
All right. Well, I mean, that's...
That's cool.
Okay, so that was... Damn, it's crazy we didn't have a homer that game.
I know, that is wild. We won that game with seven runs, and we didn't homer. Okay. Okay, like this team has hit 10 games. What am I trying to say? This team has hit home runs in 10 straight games, man.
That's something that we haven't done in a while.
Like, how often does that happen? Is everybody doing that?
Yeah, we'll set the record. Yeah.
Life is a highway, and on it there will be many chicken sandwiches. But there's only one McCrispy. So go ahead and hit the turn signal if you know about this juicy gem of a detour.
This episode is brought to you by Amazon Prime. You know Amazon Prime is not just a shipping subscription, right? It's got everything, including streaming TV and movies on Prime Video. And of course, Prime's fast, free shipping. Go from watching your favorite shows to getting your favorite things. Whatever you're into, it's on Prime. Visit Amazon.com/Prime to get more out of whatever you're into.
Hey, welcome to IKEA, where even this desk is circular.
Huh. How so? Looks pretty rectangular to me.
It's because we're always looking to repair, reuse, and relove our products, like buying back your IKEA items for store credit. Or shop our as-is section for great deals. You can even order free spare parts. Get on the circular path for a more sustainable future.
Still a rectangle.
Get started at ikea-usa.com/circular. Visit ikea-usa.com/circular for as-is information and buyback and resale terms and conditions. Spare parts not available for all products.
At IKEA, your dream home is a blue bag away. No matter the size of your space or budget, we've got everything you need to turn your dreams into reality. And now with new lower prices on hundreds of our most popular products, bringing the dream home is even easier. Like the gray Strandom wing chair, was $369, now $299. And the IKEA Plus 365 9-piece cookware set was $129.99, now $89.99. And hundreds more. Shop new lower prices at ikea-usa.com today.
But I think they are having, I think there's a little more talent than there was last year. And the approach is better. You know, I mean, I think the offensive philosophy overall is light years ahead of where it was last year.
They're not all just trying to bop homers.
And I think it's one of those baseball's so weird. You know, it's one of those like inversely proportionate things with baseball where it's like, it seems like, the harder you try and hit home runs, the less home runs you hit. And the more you just focus on trying to hit the ball the other way and make productive outs, the baseball gods seem to allow you to square balls up more frequently. You're just like, whoops, home run. Yeah, like Nick Allen kind of hit a rocket yesterday.
Yeah.
And, you know, Nick Allen was a little shaky on defense there, wasn't hitting very well. Nick Allen's defense recently has been like, completely locked in. He's been amazing. Mm-hmm. And all of a sudden his offense is starting. So it's like, you know, just like focus on the things that you can control and the rest of the stuff figures itself out. You know, you focus on trying to take good at bats and play good defense and you homer in 10 straight games, you know?
Yep.
So I don't know if they're going to be in the annals of any sort of record books or anything, but man, it does feel nice to be able to have some watchable offense.
Most double plays turned.
Yeah. Yeah,
they're true. Hot on the trail, that's that
true.
One.
That's true. They're within the realm. Within the realm of possibility.
I think we've slowly meandered our way to most pleasant surprise thus far, which is our second topic on the agenda. And yeah, it's just the sum of the parts of this team are far more than, you know, the individual contributions would lead you to believe. And that is not something we've experienced for years either. But just like looking at this lineup, from the team that played yesterday against the Yankees, you got a 304 average for Ruiz, solid OPS over 1,000. You got Tyler Nevin at 286, 730 OPS, and then it just gets real bad from there. You got Rooker at 176, but he is rocking a 753 OPS. Everyone else is sub 700 with an average probably lower than 200 or even worse. So there's no good numbers to speak of if you're looking at averages or on-base percentage. But somehow they're winning ball games. They're hitting home runs enough to not get shut out.
Yeah.
And the bullpen is good enough that it works sometimes.
Yeah, I mean, I think there have been... I mean, are you looking at the lineup? The lineup for today against the Orioles.
Mm-hmm.
Estre Ruiz, Tyler Nevin, Shea Langeliers, Brent Rooker, J.J. Bleday, Abraham Toro, Darryl Arnaiz, Lawrence Butler, and Schumann.
Yeah. Bad batting averages.
But Nevin has
good.
Looked okay.
Nevin has looked good.
I think Langeliers is doing such a good job with the pitching staff that I can't even really...
He did hit 3 home runs one time.
Yeah. And I think Rooker seems to be turning a corner. I mean, there's it's not the most overpowering lineup I've ever seen, but man, it is crazy how different it looks with Brent Rooker in there.
Yeah. But yeah. Like how your emotions about the quality of the offense, they're better in your mind than what you see on the paper, right?
Well,
like,
and they're better. These
averages are terrible.
And the win and loss record is better than this would indicate that it would be.
True.
You know, I just feel like it is kind of crazy that this has turned into the amount of wins it has even turned into, you know? And I think a big part of that has been the pitching,
mm-hmm.
You know, for like a bad team, they've won a lot of close games.
They've got pretty much league average pitching. Someone posted it today. ERA plus like 98, I think 95, 98.
That is so far ahead of where we were last year. Like,
I don't even want to know where it was. So yeah, I mean, we're still getting outscored, still losing more often than we're winning, but there's just something about it. If you squint hard enough, you can see a decent baseball team. It reminds me of like virtually every little league team I ever played on. Like, yeah. Were we good? No. But deep down, our parents loved watching us. I don't know.
And you had fun.
It was baseball.
On those days where everyone was playing well, unbeatable.
It was baseball. Yeah. I keep cursing today.
Yeah.
But yeah, I don't know. The last few years, it didn't even feel like you're watching a baseball game.
No, I mean,
sometimes.
There's no amount of squinting that you could have possibly done. You
can't squint past some of those things.
Like Ken Waldichuk's starts last year were just what they were, and there was really no way
everybody's starts
to dress that up.
When James Caprillion would come in and walk like 7 people.
Oh my gosh! Last year was a chore at points for sure.
This is just like even somebody we were excited to see pitch would just suck.
Well, and then Miller came up and he was like, he's amazing. And he's like, his elbow's hurt. Like, oh my gosh.
His elbow hurts.
Anyway, switching on to biggest disappointment. I think for me, and I'm not even that worried about it overall, but probably Zach Gelof so far, you know?
Yeah, that's fair.
I think he's had some great moments. He's had some really good games, but I think overall it's just not where I thought he would, not where kind of anyone thought he would be right now. But he's, you know, I mean, he's now he's hurt. It's his second year. It happens sometimes. But I think for me, that's been a little bit disappointing.
Totally. I guess I can't choose. So Ryan Oda's disappointing. We've talked about that.
Oh, that's true.
Still Ryan thinking Noda, he's going to flip
Noda
the script
might even
soon.
Be more, Ryan Noda might even be a little bit more of a bummer.
He's got an OPS of 478.
That's true. You're right.
That is okay. That's Nick Allen territory. J.J. Bleday just started out so hot, and he's really cooled off, so that's sad.
Yes.
And then just Miguel Andujar hasn't appeared, and he was so hot this spring, and
well,
that was
and
fun.
I think also Stripling and Wood.
Definitely. We were very excited for them, and I still feel deep in my bones like they can turn it around.
But it has been an inauspicious start.
It's not,
for
not
both
looking
of them.
Good. I've had high hopes for many ace pitchers, and it doesn't always work out.
No. Not everyone is the diamond in the rough.
No.
You know, we've done it occasionally, but we don't do it all the time. You know, it was Scott Kazmir, right? Was that the...
That's a good one.
Yeah. And I guess Paul Blackburn also. But anyways, but also, like, I feel like it's... I'm not very disappointed in anything, though.
No. I mean, we're having fun. We're upset when they lose. We're happy when they win. It's great.
Yeah.
We're riding that wave
like,
again.
I think for me, Zach Geloff encapsulates the, like, quote-unquote disappointment so far. I mean, it's like, it could be going better, but it's not that bad.
It's not that
you
bad.
You know, like, it's, you know, Zach Geloff's season could be going better, but he's had some good moments. It's not mm-hmm. the end of the world. You know, he's hurt right now. It's okay. Things are happening. We're moving forward. So I think overall, to circle back to topic two, the most pleasant surprise, it's kind of the overall competitiveness.
Everything. Being 10 and 16.
Yeah. The most pleasant surprise so far is that they are not that disappointing.
We're 10 and 16. We're ahead of the Astros by 3 games.
The Astros are trouble and the White Sox, dude. The White Sox.
The White Sox are feeling everything we felt. They're 3-22. Is that how bad it was for us?
No. I don't think so.
They're 3-22. Marlins are 6-20. Rockies are 7-19. We're just, the Astros are 7-19 also. It feels good.
The Astros stink.
We're basically on par with the Tigers, the Twins, the Nationals, the Cardinals. Plenty of teams that had much higher expectations than we did this year.
Yes. So, and I think they will continue to at least maintain.
I would love to see the run differential get to 0.
Where are we at right now?
-38.
Which is, man, I thought it was going to be so much worse than that. You know? We really do. We need to start plugging into this equation some, like, 11-2 wins, though.
Yeah, I would.
You know?
We're not getting many of those.
Because those would be fun. You know, like a day where we just hit like 4 dingers and, you know, just like
that. I would love that. We have and like.
It will happen.
We have like 4 or 5 one-run games a week and we lose twice by like 6 runs.
Yes, which doesn't, you know, that hurts the differential. it hurts the differential big time. So anyway, overall, yeah, I think like I feel like that was a pretty good way to encapsulate. I mean, I'm not feeling good in the way that like, I think they're going to have the best record in the AL West. But, man, I'm feeling real good compared to last year.
Well, it's just nice. Like, last year we got into such a big hole. It was like we could win 20 games in a row at some point, but it won't matter.
Yeah.
Now we're close enough. If we just get hot, you win 10 games in a row. All of a sudden, we're climbing up the standings a little bit. And then it's fun.
Yeah. Well, and you, we are in... I think what was hard about the last 2 years is year before last, they were bad.
Yes.
And it was like, okay, they're bad. Maybe this will be productive and we'll come out with a little bit more zazz the next year. And then the year after was worse.
It just got worse.
Yeah. And it was like, so is this just what we're like, are we going to, like, are they not even trying to win? Like, obviously, they're not trying to win the same way other teams are trying to win, you know, with, like, the full organizational involvement in the process. But it's like, man, there were points last year, especially where it was like, are they not trying to win like, at all? Like, are they trying to lose? Mm-hmm. Because then, you know, like, what are we even going to talk about? You know, like, how are we going to spin?
They did make podcasting pretty brutal for a stretch
there. Like, how are we going to spin a team that's trying to lose? Now, it doesn't feel like they're trying to lose anymore. You know, it feels like they're trying to win, and they're losing more frequently than they're winning, but they're trying to win.
They feel like the underdog. They're very scrappy, and it's the only way it's going to work.
Yeah.
And that's fine. It's fun. When it does work, it's real exciting.
It is. What is the coolest thing you saw in baseball this week?
Not something that I saw, just something that I know, and I know that the Astros suck.
They do. Their Astros are in last place in the AL West.
Just leave it at that.
which is a great feeling. Like, you could have told me, all you would have needed to tell me about this year for me to be like, is that we'll be better than the Astros.
Exactly.
Like, that's all I need.
That might be the new goal. I mean, I don't think anybody thought it was possible this year, but that might be the new season-long goal.
I mean, did they just get washed that quickly?
I mean, there's like an article every day now, just like, the Astros might be done. You know, and it's like,
I mean, it seems like they are.
I love it. It's the most beautiful thing that could possibly be happening in the baseball world.
But, yes, that's very cool. Mine is Yoshinobu Yamamoto. Did you see he caught that? He, like, snagged that 105-mile-an-hour line drive that was coming right at his head.
It did.
That was so obviously, like, super cool catch, and he saved himself from, like, massive facial trauma.
I love that.
So, you know, it's like double thumbs up.
Mm-hmm.
Like a highlight play, and also like you didn't break your nose. And he's rounding into form a little bit for sure. He's looking a little bit better. So yeah, hopefully he doesn't have to make those type of plays anymore.
But, no.
You
know, with technology these days, we should really just put like a little floating protective layer right where their face is.
Yeah. Like maybe something came off.
Or like a ramp.
Yeah.
Like if it's gonna hit their head, just like shoot it off into center field instead.
There's got to be a way to figure it out. That's not a terrible idea though. Okay, what are we doing here? We're doing an A's look back.
This is a hard one. I initially was thinking of an even harder one, but this one is hard. But I will say, definitively, we've been to a start, and it was a good start.
Okay, so he was seemingly like a Ranger minor leaguer that didn't get a lot of time with the Rangers. And then came on over to Oakland in 2011. He was a starter.
He was good. 119 ERA plus for the A's in 2011, the only season he really started.
And then the Rockies and the Giants.
If you want a hint, I can tell you who we went to the baseball game with.
Okay. I have no idea.
We went with Steven Isaac.
Okay.
It's just the three of us. And there's a picture of us there.
I think I remember that. I have no idea. I don't even have a guess.
Okay. It's Guillermo Moscoso.
Oh.
And he like went 7 no-hit innings the day we were there or something like that.
Wow. That is a name that I was never going to pull out of. Guillermo Moscoso might be that's a good one.
Thank you.
That's a very good one.
I was looking at Raul Alcantara and that just didn't seem fair.
Alrighty, and then last but not least, we're doing the pick a team matchup.
Pick a team.
I'm at 8-3 right now, and I picked the Royals. And Corey is at 8-4, and he picked the Yankees. So let's total them up real quick.
Yankees went 4-3.
Royals also went 4-3.
Okay, so you're still winning by one less loss.
So that brings me to, 12-6? And you are 12-7?
12-7.
Okay. And then for next week...
So who picks first?
You pick first, I think.
Okay. Who's hot? Who's hot? Who's hot? Who's hot? Who's hot? Orioles are hot. Guardians are hot. Braves are hot. I'll pick... I'll pick the Braves.
All right. And I will pick the Cubs.
The Bravos are slated to play 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6.
I just checked. I think the Cubs play 7. So you can pick again if you want to.
Do I pick again?
You pick again. You get one more. You get one re-roll.
Okay. Orioles.
going with the team that play the A's, huh?
Well, I just saw that they're 8-2 in their last 10.
Well, and the Yankees played the A's last week too.
But yeah, it seems to be a it's an unfortunate trend. I'm not proud of. 1, 2, 3, 4, 5. Aha! And I got the Yankees, but oh well.
They just split with the A's.
They did.
So yeah, all in all, a good week of baseball, I would say. Well, it ended well.
We're baseballing.
So, yeah, I hope we are 5-2.
5-2.
Before we talk to you next time.
Maybe that's what it's going to take, one of us to pick the A's for them to get hot.
I guess that's true. It didn't come to mind, honestly.
Next time.
Maybe next time. Yeah. Or maybe
when,
like,
they need it most.
Yeah. Yes. Yeah. Once they're firmly in playoff contention, then we'll go for it. All righty. Well, it was a good week, and we will talk to you soon. And in the meantime, go A's.
Go A's.
Bye.